Today's show is brought to you by HelloFresh. Please visit HelloFresh.com and use the promo code CADCAST30 to save $30 off your first week of deliveries when you subscribe. Spinning around, no control. Burning down, letting go. We've been wandering in the dark, but no matter where we are, just remember. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADCAST episode number 497. I'm your host, GBD, here in Long Island, New York. And as always, we are joined by a man who's, holy shit, he's 40, Wombat.
Hey, I'm old. So old.
Welcome to Club Old.
Oh, it sucks.
No, it doesn't.
Do you have one of those Lordy Lordy Look Who's 40 signs in your yard?
No.
You will.
Well, I didn't know that was a thing. Is that something I'm supposed to get?
Hold on. I'm writing this down so I can plant this on your lawn while you're sleeping.
Ugh, please don't.
I'm going to spray paint it on your garage, actually.
That works. I think that would be better.
How do you feel?
The same.
How's the celebration going?
So far, so good. We went to Chili's last night.
Chili's?
I got some fajitas and a margarita.
Chili's is hardly, I feel like that's not, did not rise to the occasion of such an event.
Well, that's where we went with the kids.
Aha.
So it's different. That was the dinner with the
kids.
That's
a high class kids joint.
Yeah, exactly. For small children, that's pretty good. We did hibachi with my brother and his family on Sunday.
Okay.
That's a higher class kids joint.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That was
that's
also
like
with
peak class for kids.
Exactly. That was with one child, not the other. And on Saturday, because Saturday was a weird day because it was my friend's bachelor party for his second bachelor party for his second wedding. And
did he look clean shaven?
No, I did not. I was not clean shaven for
was
that.
Was he? But this is the guy that you gave the
this
razors
is the
to,
guy
right?
that I gave the razors to, yes.
Right.
And he will be clean shaven now. And we went to the Yankee game in the afternoon, followed by the New York Yankee Steakhouse in Manhattan.
Oh.
So, yeah. And what, so that was like a fancy dinner, too.
What about the strippers?
There were no strippers. We were all too old for strippers.
Really?
Yeah.
Said no.
It was like an 8-hour day between going to the Yankee game and then to dinner. I mean, it was a long day. It's fine.
How had a very are the nice Yankees time. Steaks?
The New York Yankee Steakhouse is pretty good, actually.
Really? Is it's it not, really?
It sounds pretty, like it would be wonderful. It sounds like
it's not a scam at all.
Right.
I mean, it's not. Is it the best steakhouse in Manhattan? No. Do they have cool memorabilia all over the restaurant for your friend who's the biggest Yankee fan you know?
Sure.
And the steaks are pretty good? Yes.
Do they brand the Yankee symbol into the steaks?
Only on one of the steaks.
Of course.
And it's that steak. You ready? The steaks range, like all the other steaks, are like between 40 and 50 bucks, which is, you know, fairly normal steakhouse prices, but the one that they brand the symbol in, $80. It's like they upcharge you $30 to get the Yankee symbol in the
right.
And I don't know why I was being friendly with the waitress who was helping us, and she was very nice. And when she put down the steak knives, I could tell just by looking at it that it wasn't really sharp enough for a steak. And I actually said, I'm like, don't you have a sharper knife for the steaks? And as I'm sitting there, she actually came back to the table and she said, these are the special steak knives that we only have for the players.
Wow.
Here you go. And she gave me, and it is, it's a completely, completely different steak knife. You could tell the difference in quality right away because it weighs like 8 pounds.
Mm.
And I'm like, and she's like, and you should take that home. That's what she said to me. And you should take that home.
Really?
And that knife, actually has on the side, it has like carved in it NYY for New York Yankees. The standard steak knives have none of that flair.
Wait a minute. So everybody took the steak knives home?
No, she only gave one of the fancy steak knives to just me.
And you took it home?
Yeah.
You didn't give it to the bachelor?
I offered it to him. It was the first thing I did. I said, do you want the knife? He goes, no, you take it. You asked for it.
Did he say, I want the knife?
Want the knife.
Please.
Yeah. So, and it was kind of cool.
I guess
so.
He's only allowed to get one sharp object per day.
There you go.
He received his in the form of a Harry's he received razor. His,
yes. And if he really wanted the knife, trust me, he would tell me. We've been best friends for almost 40 years. So I'm not worried about him not telling me the truth about what he wants.
Interesting. When I had my bachelor party, I explicitly told my friends, no strippers. I'm not interested in that. And of course, they managed to get a stripper involved. Somehow. Well,
at his first bachelor party, which was about 15 years ago, that one had strippers involved.
I see.
It's a long engagement.
Yes, that's it. So this one is a little different, a little more low key, but still very nice. We had a good time.
But what about your birthday? So, did you get anything good for your birthday?
I don't have any of the things I got yet.
Right.
So my wife signed me up for the Marvel Collectors Club.
What's
so
that?
I'll get my first box.
Collector
in
Core?
June. Huh?
Collector Core?
Yeah. Did I say Collectors
Club? It's like
Club?
A loot box thing?
Yeah, it's like a loot box, but it's just Marvel stuff.
Nerd box?
A nerd box, yep. So I got one of those, and she also signed me up for, she signed me up for two of those things. She signed me up for the Marvel box, and she signed me up for the t-shirt.
Gotcha.
She knows you well.
I get a t-shirt of the month now for the year, which I figured you would all find very amusing.
Sure.
Yeah. She knows, like I said, she knows me well. So I get my first t-shirt at the end of this month, and my first Marvel box in June.
Fantastic.
So, she said, yeah, listen, honey, I know you don't go to E3 anymore, so I'm bringing the experience to you.
And you're going to get one
crappy
t-shirt.
Here are 12 free t-shirts.
Exactly. Can you think of a better gift for me, honestly?
Maybe.
When she told me that, I laughed audibly at work. So
that's very sweet.
Yeah, I thought so. It was a very thoughtful gift, and I'm very excited for my Marvel boxes. We actually sat there and tried to predict what each box is going to be, because I get six of them. So,
Professor X yarn. Wolverine.
You get the
sausages.
Nazi box.
Yes, the Secret Empire Nazi box. I'm looking forward to that. Maybe they would do it, because that's one of the ones that we couldn't figure out, Liz, what they would do for August. But I could see them doing a Secret Empire box maybe in August when that event ends.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Well, we'll celebrate your birthday later this week for our birthday lunch.
Yes, I think we already talked about this too much, and it's only been 7 minutes. So I think people are sick of hearing about my birthday.
Right, and I will
only
give
four
you
four more weeks, people.
Yeah, enjoy your wombat, miss.
I will give you your present then on at the birthday lunch.
I'm excited. I honestly have no idea what it is, what it could possibly be. So
a slightly used copy of Mario Kart 8 for the Switch.
Works for me. I could stare at it on the shelf.
Perfect. You'll enjoy it. Mm-hmm. No, maybe. We'll see. You'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy the fried clams, at least.
I will definitely enjoy the fried clams.
Excellent. Let's see. At Dante Calypso wanted to wish you a happy belated birthday. And then he asked if you can wish for me to have a beer with you and make me promise not to throw up when I get home. I had a beer with you a couple weeks ago, and I didn't.
You did?
I had no problem whatsoever.
Nope. Left Coast Kitchen.
Yeah, that was good.
That was a good time.
It was. Yeah. I have some updates on my smart home that I know everybody's very interested in hearing. That's not involving watering rocks either. So the other day our library has this basically this treasure hunt thing. It was pretty cool, actually. They get involved with like the local merchants, and you follow these clues, and when you solve the clue, it leads you to a store. And then in the window is a little QR code that you scan with your phone. And then it gives you a little history of that store and what it looked like 50, 60 years ago. And then it gives you your next clue. And you go, you know, you move on to the next one and the next one until you finish. So we did this at night. Usually we, you know, we're home before dark on a normal night, but this night we were not. So we get back home and I'd left the front light on of our house, which shines right on our front door. And when we got home, there were so many bugs all over the door, like a lot of little ones and then like a couple of really big ones that were maybe there to eat the little ones. I don't know. But it was so covered in bugs that there was no way we were going to open that door because they would all be inside our house. So we had to go around to the back and get in that way. So I decided that I needed some way to have a motion detector light on there so we're not keeping the light on all the time. But I also don't want to install a whole new light fixture or anything like that. So I basically did it with a Philips Hue setup again. I took out the LED recessed can and I put in a bulb and I bought the motion detector and mounted it outside. And it works great. No more bugs. So go me. I did it all myself for a minimal cost, basically.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. And I also had our gardener came and also put in flowers. So we're watering a lot more than rocks now. So we're all set up. I mean,
rocks and flowers.
He did put in more rocks. He did put in a lot more rocks, actually. But they're all.
I noticed the rocks.
Come on. There's a lot of flowers there. You noticed the flowers.
There was like four flowers and about 8 tons of rocks.
No, there's a lot of flowers, a lot more flowers. But there are a lot of rocks.
You keep rocking those flowers. That's all I'll say.
We have small rocks and big rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's getting watered.
Rocks the Casbah.
Yes. How about some show feedback? Oh,
sure.
No, wait. Shipwreck's got to tell his bad story.
Oh, he does? Maybe he doesn't want to. Did you ever think about that?
I can say something about my bad story. That's fine.
Yeah.
I didn't have a prepared statement, but sure.
Let me get it ready. No, 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 no. Bad story.
Right. So came home, I think it was mid last week. It might have even been before last week's show. I'm not sure. But so I'm in the kitchen. I'm making the HelloFresh. Emmeline's in the backyard. Like, we have a fenced in backyard, so I can kind of like look out the kitchen. She's playing on her playground or out in the yard or whatever while I'm cooking. So she's out there doing her thing. She's got her bucket. She's picking up princess nuts, which are walnuts. And so she's out there. She's playing. It's fine. Then Gretchen comes home from work, and so Emmeline sees her and just comes like running up to the back door and is like yelling, "Mommy, mommy, I found a fuzzy animal, like a cute fuzzy animal." And she's three, so you're like, okay, well,
squirrel.
She could just be making something up, like could be anything. But like I knew that the lawn had gotten mowed that day as well. And so I'm like, oh, I hope she didn't like find like dead bunny or something that got mowed over.
Right.
Because we've had that happen when she was younger. She wouldn't remember it, but so like Gretchen goes outside, I keep cooking, and like she comes back in and she's like, she found a bat. And I'm like, okay, she found a bat? And there was a bat that was inside of, like, she has one of those, she has a Skyfort. Skyfort 2. It's one of those wooden playground sets.
I'm Googling that right now.
Okay.
Me too.
Skyfort 2 with two, Roman numeral 2.
Nice.
Yeah, so she's got the Skyfort 2.
Jeez.
It's a nice playground.
Hell yeah.
And so, yeah, like Gretchen comes running up to the door and like, so I have to go outside. I'm like, what am I going to do? There's a bat. Everybody come inside. This seems like we're going the wrong direction.
Right.
So get out there and like Gretchen like has a big Tupperware container. Like one of those things like you would put bird seed in or something, or mm-hmm. cat food. And she's got gloves on. She's got, I went and got her some of like my goggles from work. Like if I have to go to like a manufacturing plant.
Uh huh.
And she's got like one of her doctor masks on and everything. So she's climbing up into the playhouse, all this stuff. And Emmeline's just like so happy because she's got like a new pet bat that she found.
Uh-huh. And we're going to keep it.
Right. Every animal that's in our yard is her pet.
Right.
So, and I'm like, okay, yeah, it's a bat. It probably like went up into there to sleep and fell down and was groggy and just like didn't get up. Like I've had a bat fall into my French fries before at Kings Island. Like I sat down. This is like back when I was a teenager, and it was like you buy like the $8 thing of fries, like the big potato wedge kind.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And sat down, started eating them. All of a sudden, just a bat falls down into my fries.
He was dead, or he was hungry?
No, he was alive. He just like had, I don't know, lost his grip when he was sleeping.
Fuck.
Yeah, just fell down in my fries, like looked at me and then flew away. And then I had to decide whether I was going to eat the fries. I don't remember if I ate the fries.
He looked at you and he said,
"Please tell me you didn't eat the fries."
I was a teenager. I don't actually remember what I ate the fries at that time.
Please.
I would have never eaten fries again probably after that.
Right. Those were really good fries and they were really expensive. Like $8 fries for a teenager.
Right.
It had the cheese with them.
It's a big investment.
Anyway, back to your story.
Yeah. So Gretchen gets up there. She's like wrestling around with the Tupperware. The bat's like doing the little bat screams and everything.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, she gets it. She gets it in there, gets it all like, I don't know, secure and everything. Then decides she's going to take it to work because she's a vet. So she knows what to do with this stuff and going to have it sent off for rabies testing. And comes back a week later, it has rabies. So, yeah. Our bat got to be a story in the local newspapers and newscasts and everything.
How are the shots going?
She wasn't bit. So, okay. But since she's 3 years old and her recollection of the events or how she tells them is that the bat was in her bucket of princess nuts and crawled out of the bucket of princess nuts and was flying around.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure the bat was probably just sleeping on the floor the entire time.
Right.
But you can't trust her. So yeah, you have to go get the shots. And it's like, oh, it's awful. We're on series two. It's like a 2 week process, four visits. The first one is like, you get three shots at once, basically.
Ooh, triple.
One in both legs and in the arm at the same time. But yeah, it's not a pleasant experience, but She'll be fine.
By the way, Gretchen's a better man than I, because there's no fucking way I'm going anywhere near that thing, let alone trying to catch it.
Yeah,
I probably would have wound up touching the bat too, and I would have to get shots.
Right. That's what I would have ended up doing. I'd have gone up there with the first thing I could grab out of the garage to like bat it away.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It would have flown up into my hair.
The longest pole.
And then you need to, then you would also be getting shots, and no one's buying you a toy after shots, and that sucks.
Right. No.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so
congratulations. It's very rare to find a bat that has rabies. They say only 6% of the bats that get tested for rabies have rabies. So you win.
Yeah, so we ended up not killing a perfectly good bat. So
and making the news.
Sure.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And in the meantime, Cheapy bought a bat condo for his house.
Well, I was
that now his wife won't let him put up.
No. Well, here's the thing. I was looking at this ahead of time. Like, you know, like around the time that this happened, I had read something that said bats are very, you know, they eat an incredible amount of mosquitoes. Like they can eat like 1,000 mosquitoes an hour. And people said, you know, if you can buy one of these wooden bat houses for like $30 and a couple, you know, bats will come and live there and eat your mosquitoes. And that seemed like a really good deal to me. But then this thing all happened and I wound up ordering it anyway, but I don't think it's going to work here because I have too many trees and there's too much shade and the house needs to get sunlight, a lot of sunlight. Otherwise bats aren't interested. Or maybe you just need a sky fort. Maybe I should just get a sky fort.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you have a playset with a bay window? Because if you don't have a bay window on your playset, you're not going to get any bats.
Right. No, the sky fort is definitely a bigger proposition than the bat house.
There is nothing fort-like about that, by the way.
It's like a condo. They should call it Kid Condo.
Kid Condo.
Anyway, so yeah, I don't know that the bat house is actually going to get installed, but it's sitting in my boiler room right now. I'll sell it to anybody cheap if they want.
You might as well just hang it up and see what comes with living it.
I figure you're just going to wrap it and give it to me on Friday.
Oh, fuck.
Oh.
That's a good idea. Now
edit this out so he doesn't know about it.
I could give you the bat attractant spray that I bought called Hello.
No, thanks.
It's called Hello Bat. I'm going to spray Shipwreck with
bat.
It. Next time I see Ship, I'm going to spray him with it. I'm bringing it to E3. How about some show feedback?
Sure. Hired.geek has to say, I agree with Shipwreck that I have done enough World War II stuff. I've killed enough Nazis and enough Nazi zombies. Let's go back to the modern warfare games, not the future modern warfare.
Can we have both in the same game? Can we get like the modern warfare and also future warfare? Like, you know, traveling through time somehow? That'd be the best.
They try time travel for some reason?
Yeah. Sure. And your best friend is a talking pie. Of course.
So, Howard, you've done it again. Also, I think Sony will come out with another PS4 Pro. I predict the next revision will have 4K Blu-ray player in it and most likely be a slimmer design.
But not a more powerful GPU, it sounds like.
Yeah, I could see that being a thing.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
sure.
That's a small improvement. Okay, sure.
And whoever had the idea of the virtual mini NES classic console app for the Switch, kudos to you. I agree they will never do it, but it does seem like a good marketing campaign to move more Switch consoles. It would be nice if the co-op games like Mario Brothers and others were not just couch co-op, but had online co-op play features as well. And happy birthday to Wombat. Welcome to the big 4-0 club.
Woohoo!
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whose idea was it?
All the Nintendo stuff you mentioned will never happen.
Was that your idea? Or Ship's?
Sure.
No, that was a listener's idea.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was a
got it.
CatCast question okay. Last week.
Yep.
And they're supposed to be adding that. Isn't that what's part of the big hold up with Virtual Console and the online service? Is they're trying to put online play into these old games?
Is it? I'll take your word for it.
I don't think they've said anything about... Oh, I don't know.
I thought they were at least going to have like leaderboards and stuff.
I don't know. I haven't been following it very closely.
No, neither of us have because people got upset that we didn't know that there were online games already for the Switch.
Well, I knew that there were. I just thought that...
Right, it's just the system's not in place yet.
Right.
Like, it's not a fully functioning battle station yet.
Correct. It's like the Return of the Jedi thing. It's like half...
Right, like it's...
Three-quarters built.
Kind of, right.
We will double our efforts then.
I ain't doing shit.
They should double their efforts.
Yeah, definitely. How about some Watch This, bitches? How about that Defenders trailer?
I watch it.
I also watched it.
I watched it.
That,
how about the Nirvana music?
Yeah, ask me anything but the distracting Nirvana remix.
You hate it when they put Nirvana in trailers.
It just feels like it's not earned. Like... 100% of the time.
It isn't. I think
what does that even mean?
What?
It's not earned? What do you mean? How do you earn a song in your trailer? You mean like...
If you're going to use Nirvana, which at this point I guess would be, you know, fairly classic and revered, then it better be a good damn trailer.
It was all right. It was pretty good. No?
It wasn't pretty. It wasn't. It was okay.
You mean like Kurt Cobain wouldn't allow it if he was alive? Is that what you mean?
No. Well, I don't certainly think so. Not that.
It's sort of like having the Beatles in the Justice League trailer. It's not earned.
Right. Well, this was the actual song, right? But just sort of like slowed down a little.
It was all chopped up.
Yeah, bass line mostly.
Yeah, it was bass line, and then Kurt would like sing a line, and then they would cut him off, and then he would sing another line, and then like wait a little while, and then sing another line. It was odd. Wombat and I talked about it. If they'd have just used the bass line without Kurt singing, it would have been a much better trailer.
Because then you're in on the joke when you figure out what the song is. There's a layer.
Why aren't they using like a New York band though for this?
I don't know. Why are
like,
they?
There's no tie to Nirvana and the Defenders.
No, there is not.
I think somebody said, "Hey, we have enough money to get a Nirvana song. Should we do it?" And somebody said, "Yes, let's do
that." But they should. Every Marvel thing should be forced to use the team that does the Guardians of the Galaxy trailers. I don't know who cuts those and scores those, but those are good.
I have a feeling that you two guys are the only people thinking about the music in the trailer.
No, we're not. Anytime a Nirvana song is used in any of these things, it comes up.
It sounds
watch how music is used, because it, you know, another trailer that uses popular music. Watch the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 trailer, first one.
Nope.
That uses Fox on the Run, and see how the music fits so much better, and that the song as it is, the beats work with the attitude that they want you to go into this film with. And I don't think Come As You Are and the way that they cut it up, I don't think it works, and I don't know what they're trying to go for. At some points, they slow the song down, but I don't think they want you to feel that the show is going to be slow. And are they trying to go for like almost like a morose kind of vibe? And I personally don't want that from the Defenders. I don't know.
It looks like there's going to be several scenes of them sitting around a table talking.
Yeah, and being depressed. So
I just thought,
although that the gif that you sent me of Iron Fist just standing there while everyone else fights was pretty damn funny.
He's like shucking and jiving while everybody else is fighting with his brown shoes. Yeah, I just, those brown shoes really stood out. Because
he fought in the hallway.
He doesn't. He just stands there and moves around while everyone else fights.
No, he does like a running wall kick or something at some point.
He gets one shot in, I think. But
right.
Not in that gif. Anyway, I thought it was fine. I think, I don't know.
I'll watch it. I just, you know, listen.
I think you guys should watch Into the Badlands. We're like a few episodes into that now. It's not depressing. Is it depressing? No.
Sounds cheery.
I mean, it's not cheery. It's about, here's what it's about.
What is this one again?
I'm going to tell you what it's about.
Okay.
I guess it's in the future or something. There are these different barons that control different parts of the land. The Badlands, I guess. and there's no guns in this world. So everything, all the fighting and wars are done with swords and kung fu.
You talked about this last week.
I did, but I only watched one episode of it. Now we're several in, and I can speak more about the quality of the show. So that's basically the story, that there are these barons who are competing against each other, and they're using kung fu. And in each episode so far, there's two like awesome fight scenes and a good story. And the quality of the fight scenes are as good as any fight scene that I've ever seen in any movie. They use a guy who was trained by, you know, like the guys who did The Matrix and a lot of Hong Kong like Wire Fu movies, and it's just really, really well done, and it looks you know, and it just has a really good look to it as well. And the story is interesting, and it's not depressing. So I recommend it. It's on Netflix, and it's called Into the Badlands. There's two seasons up now. So watch that shit. I also started watching A Handmaid's Tale on Hulu with the girl from Mad Men, Peggy. And that's
Elizabeth Moss.
Yes, that could be, I guess, a little depressing, but it's, I don't know, it's not totally depressing. The subject is depressing, but they handle it in a way that, I don't know, the tone is not super duper dark as you might expect, but it's the story is basically that in the future, women can't really get pregnant because of all the pollution or whatnot. Only a very small percentage of women can get pregnant. And these women are basically slaves to the elite class, and their job is to bear children for them. And they live in the house with them and get fucked by the husbands until they make a baby. And that's the story. It's well done. Very well done. So there. That's all I have to report. Who saw Ender's Game?
Oh, I did. That was one of my late night viewings. That's not very good either. Ender's Game. I knew going in that I probably was not going to thoroughly enjoy it, but I still wanted to watch it for some reason. Have either of you seen this?
Yeah, I've seen it, and I read the book.
Okay. I know Wombat has political issues with it, but I liked the book. The book was good back when I read it in high school or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it was just, it relies so much on like teenage acting, but it's just, I don't know. It's just not very interesting to watch it.
It works a lot better in your head when you're thinking about the, that sport that they play, the training sport. I forgot what it's called, but all those scenes just seem to work better in your mind. And I don't know. It's
have
not.
Have you watched The Man from U.N.C.L.E. yet?
No.
No, I have not.
You should do that next.
Why?
I may.
I know. I know you can watch it. That's why I'm telling you that should be your next one.
Yeah, I'm just working through all of the movies that I missed when I started having kids.
Yep.
Perfect.
I recommend The Man from U.N.C.L.E. I think you'll like it.
All right. How about some listen up, bitches? Because now I listen to podcasts now.
Oh, what are those?
Right. So I finished Serial season 1 and 2. So I asked my Twitter followers to recommend a similar style podcast. And they recommended this show called Crime Town, which is it's about Providence, Rhode Island in the 70s and 80s, where the mafia basically ran the whole town. It was considered like the third biggest mafia-controlled city in the country. And it has, you know, it's different than those other podcasts because they're not really investigating a crime per se. It's more of like a historical retelling. But they do a very good job of, you know, they insert, unlike the other two shows, they insert sound effects and stuff when they're retelling the story. So it's in a lot of ways, it's sort of like a play going on in your ears. But it's very well done, and I'm sort of blasting my way through it. It's called Crime Town, and I recommend that.
You should, did you check out the one I recommended?
No.
Jerk.
What was that called?
You Must Remember This. It's very good. It's about basically Hollywood in the last century. And she does different seasons, and each season has a topic. The most recent season was Dead Blondes. And she does, I think it was 8 parts, and each hour is a different blonde actress that died tragically from the 1920s through the early 1980s.
Interesting.
And it's really interesting. And it's really interesting to learn about these. Some people are very obscure. Some are obviously not. I'm sure you can guess some of the less obscure ones. But it's really interesting. You know, you learn a lot about, and yes, it has your depression and your crime in it, Chibi. So I think you'd like it a lot.
I can only do one at a time. So I have to.
I really liked the season she did on The Blacklist, because I learned a lot about Hollywood and how politics changed in the early 20th century.
Cool.
So I think actually you would really like that a lot, learning about how The Blacklist started, because it started probably 20 years before you think it did. And it's very interesting. And it's very interesting to see how attitudes in Hollywood changed, how it was once a very conservative business and then a very liberal business and then a very conservative business again. Because everyone always talks about liberal Hollywood, and the idea of liberal Hollywood is actually a fairly recent thing.
Huh? Maybe I'll check it out.
I think you should. I think you'd like it.
Cool.
So,
all right. Mm-hmm. Before we do new releases, let's do a word from our friends at HelloFresh. As you may or may not know, HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun and easy, even for noobs like me who don't really know what they're doing. And they send you new recipes every week with easy step-by-step instructions. There's always just 6 steps. And it takes, you know, about 30 minutes to an hour, depending on the meal and how good you are at cutting. And, you know, the ingredients are always fresh. And they have dietitians on staff to design the meals for you. I'll tell you, this week, I even brought the recipe cards down with me so I wouldn't forget. But this last night, I made the sesame beef tacos. Have you had that yet, Chip?
No. I think that might have been one of the weeks that we put it on hold because we...
this week. It's this week.
Oh, it's this week's. So it might not be here yet.
Wait a minute. But it's already Wednesday. When does your
My delivery come on Thursday.
That's crazy. I can't even fathom that. You can choose, by the way, when it comes. Why would you choose Thursday?
That works for us? I don't know.
I feel
why don't judge.
I feel like you would want like
let the man be as HelloFresh when he feels his most HelloFresh.
I mean, you can choose any day you want, but I feel like Monday is the way to go because, you know, that's sort of like that's the start of the work week, and that's when things kick off. But I guess, all right, whatever. You must have your reasons. I'm sure you didn't just choose it willy-nilly.
I probably just chose it willy-nilly because it comes and I put it in the refrigerator and then I make it on the day I want to eat it.
Right. I guess that could work. So we had sesame beef tacos last night. And you know what I really like about this is it really forces Ty to eat new things that he would not normally try, because if he doesn't eat it, he's not getting dinner. Because this is what I made, and, you know, I'll let him pick out the meals. You know, when we choose the meals every week, I'll let him, you know, choose them. But, you know, it's not chicken nuggets or whatever. So, yeah, we had sesame beef tacos, they came out awesome. I made something called shrimp saganaki, which was shrimp over couscous with, like, an olive tomato sauce and feta cheese. It was really awesome. And tomorrow I'm going to make the chicken lo mein with carrots, mushrooms, and green beans. So the meals are all healthy and you get a really wide variety of stuff to choose from. I really love HelloFresh, and I'm glad that they sponsored our show so that it got me to try it, because it's really changed our lives in like a big way that we're eating out a lot less and having healthy meals that I make myself at home. So yeah, you should go to HelloFresh.com and you can get $30 off your first week of HelloFresh by entering in code CAGCAST30. And I really recommend that you do so because it's great. It's less than $10 a meal and they're healthy meals and they taste great. So, yeah. Anything to add, Chip? You're right in this with me.
No, it's good. I agree. Like, it gets the kids to try more things. We have a garden now because my daughter figured out that she liked rosemary and she saw it at Walmart. Like, that we could grow our own rosemary.
Nice.
We have a little herb garden that we keep in the house, actually. It's right at the windowsill.
Nice.
I don't eat anything. I don't prepare anything that doesn't come in a HelloFresh box. So I have no gardens that have food in it. Yeah, anyway. Anyway, well, so
I
yeah.
I promised garden. You an herb garden.
What's that? Yeah. So go to HelloFresh.com and enter in code CADCAST to get $30 off your first week of HelloFresh. Thank you. Now let's do some new releases.
Video games.
Yeah, it only took us 40 minutes.
Well, that's your fault.
Whatever. Look, you're 40 years old. 40 minutes before we talk about video games. 40 wax with a wet noodle. All right. So
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Yeah.
For the Nintendo Switch.
Now, you two guys have that, right?
Uh-huh. I've been playing a lot of it.
How is it?
It's a lot like the Wii U version.
Okay.
It's a lot like the Super Nintendo version.
So so what's it on Metacritic? Is it a 10 out of 10?
Probably.
It's like a 92 or something like that.
It's probably about 7 points too high, let's say.
93 is a ridiculous score, in my opinion, for this game. But whatever. Scores are what they are. The racing mechanics, the courses, those are all really fun. It's a very enjoyable game to play. I'm sure it's a lot more enjoyable if you have like local, if you're playing it local multiplayer.
If you're in college, living in a dorm.
Well, right. One of the kids in aftercare at my kid's elementary school brings his Switch to school every day and they play Mario Kart tournaments at aftercare.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a 10 out of 10 for that kid and his friends.
My son, the kid who has it is in fifth grade. He lets my son who's in kindergarten play with him. I like this kid. I don't even know who he is, but good for him.
Yeah, great for local multiplayer. I played one game online just to check it out. I got second in that game. It was just against random people. It didn't really do anything for me in particular. It's
no Overwatch, let's put it that way.
Well, it's not even the structure of the game is what holds it back, really, from being just like off the charts. Like, the gameplay mechanics are great. The Mario stuff is great.
The art design, the course design, the colors.
Yeah.
All great.
All great. It's just the structure is so unimaginative.
It's the same as Super Nintendo. It was same as a game from the 90s, rather. I mean,
it's the old racing game structure of here's four races, try to win them all, and then you get the trophy at the end. Or try to get you try to get the most points out of everybody that's racing. So you get whatever 15 points for getting first and 13 for getting second, or I don't know what the breakdown is, but
right.
That type of thing. But, and then it gives you all the different difficulties basically. It's based upon how fast the engines are.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I played through all the 50cc, which is the easiest stuff to begin with, because I'm like, I don't know. Let's see what happens.
Right.
So I played through all that, got like the 3 stars. That's for getting first in every race for each of the things. And you unlock customizable parts. There's 3 parts to the cars, the car itself, the tires, and the parachute.
Yeah, same on the DS version was the same.
Yeah, same type of thing.
But actually, you the unlockables come from collecting the coins during the races.
Do they?
Yes.
I have no idea.
Yeah. So I don't know what winning the Grand Prix gets you, besides like the visual trophy that you get, and you know,
pride,
yeah, and it you get like a star rating based on how many of the races you win in the Grand Prix, but. Yeah, it's just that's not a compelling way to get me to play the single player, and the multiplayer doesn't really offer anything different. You're still, I guess, collecting the coins to unlock stuff, but
all the characters are unlocked.
It's just the vehicle customization stuff,
right? It's they've It's just a really weirdly structured game.
It's old school. It's totally old school. And that it's not a, you know, the gameplay is so very solid, but I just don't feel compelled to, I don't feel like I'm advancing at all.
Right. That's the same way I feel. And like, I skipped over the 100cc races and went straight to the 150cc's. I think I played one of the Grand Prix of the 100cc's and was still like just easily winning everything. It was like no challenge at all. Just I'm winning all the races. So I bumped it up to 150cc's and I'm still like winning. Like I won the first three races, no problem. And then the last race, of course, I get hit by like five items in a row on the last lap and get like fourth place. And it's like, well, okay, now in order to get like the top rating on that, I have to do all those races again and hope that I don't have that same thing happen again.
And I'm not even sure that that's going to get you anything because everything's through the coins. It's like every 30 coins you unlock something.
It's so weird. Like it's a great, like it's hard to argue that it isn't still a really great game, but there's so much area, like so many areas that you could like point to and go, why not like modernize this thing somehow? Whether that's like, there's so many.
I liked your idea that you mentioned in our chat.
What's that? I had a lot of ideas.
You said, why don't they make the single player an open world setup like Forza Horizon?
I mean, that's really the extreme. I think that how amazing would that be to just be driving around an open world Mario?
Be amazing.
Game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they proved that they can do it with Zelda. Like Zelda's phenomenal for an open world type thing. But like even if they don't want to go that far with it, because I understand that's like considerable resources and everything. But this is like one of the top selling games. You should have the resources.
They do. Yeah,
but that wouldn't be this game. That would be Mario Kart 9.
Right. That's fine.
They have the resources,
but
by
stuff
the way.
That they could do, they could have done in the deluxe version here. They could have added even more customization. Like you look at Forza Horizon and you see like just how creative people can get with all the paint jobs and just like, I don't know, more community features like that.
How about some community features?
It. Yeah.
How about one community feature?
Right. They could go the Trackmania route and let you create your own tracks. I think that would add something to it. I don't know. It just feels like there's not much to do besides pick a character, pick a car, pick some tires, because you got to have tires and a parachute, and then race four races in a row.
Yeah. I mean, it's college all over again for me. It's just like, it's surprising that they don't invest more. They cheap out. Nintendo cheaps out a lot. And
they announced that this is the fastest selling Mario Kart ever, though.
All right. Good.
So keep doing what you're doing, Nintendo.
I guess so. Who cares what? I guess you don't need to make it. You know, look, Nintendo fans, they make a lot of excuses and they buy everything that Nintendo makes. And, you know, this game's like a solid 8, basically. Mm-hmm. And it gets a...
I would agree with that.
Yeah, and it gets a 9.3, basically.
It gets a higher rating than Forza Horizon.
Right, it's fucking ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous. But hey, whatever. Now everyone's going to be mad at us. I like it, and I like the game. And I have a fun time playing it with Ty. And Mrs. Cheapy and myself and Ty played last night. Mrs. Cheapy actually came in second, even though Ty had been practicing a little bit.
Nice. Is Ty using any of the like assists?
I think so.
The steering assist?
I turned it off for me, but I don't even know that if it keeps it off or you have to...
It keeps it off once you turn it off, I think.
Okay.
And there's the auto accelerate as well, which I might have put that on some because pressing, like if you're using it in the handheld mode, pressing down on that A button the entire game hurts.
I bet. I believe it. I'm using the Pro controller, which is a great controller, by the way. Yeah, it's $70, but it's a very solid and comfortable controller to use. I have no complaints about the Pro controller, although it's Yeah, it's a little hard to read the letters on the buttons if you're not used to them, which I am not. But yeah, it's a very good controller. What else we got?
For PlayStation 4, Little Nightmares came out. I have that game. I have not played it yet. I want to play that game.
I've heard very good things about it.
Yeah. That's the 2D puzzle platformer horror game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's got a cool art style.
People really seem to like it.
Yep. I hope I really seem to like it when I play it. I was hoping to get to it before the show, but did not happen. Let's see here. River City Melee Battle Royale Special came out for PlayStation 4 as well. That's the, I don't know, fighting game in the River City franchise. Everybody in one room and you fight against each other.
Interesting.
All right, then.
Yep. I guess Little Nightmares also came out for Xbox One. Somebody's highlighting that for me. On Vita, I'm playing a game. I am playing the Caligula Effect, which Atlas
is that like over. A porno game?
It's a Japanese high school game. So
is there an orgy?
Depending on how you view those games.
Does anybody make a horse a senator in that game? I know a lot about Caligula. So, ask me anything.
I don't know that it has anything to do with Caligula.
Damn.
There's a lot of words in here that it seems like are big words that Japanese people thought sounded cool in English.
Yeah, that happens a lot. Right.
There's a lot of catharsis and other things that just sound ridiculous when I'm reading them. But this is a game by one of the former Persona developers. And it's very much in kind of that same thematic type thing. You're in a high school, but it's like a Matrix high school, basically. Everybody's trapped in the Matrix, but only certain people know that they're in the Matrix. But the Matrix is run by digital singers.
Uh-huh.
You know, the like the
yeah
virtual pop star type things.
Right. Yep.
Right. So it's run by them, and everybody is forced to repeat the same 3 years of high school over and over again.
Is that called the Caligula effect?
Maybe. I don't know. It could be. Does that have something to do with Caligula?
No. Nothing.
Okay. Probably then. That's probably the Caligula effect. But it's got a cool like battle system where it's turn-based, but it's also kind of combo-based. You can see what's going to happen or before, like, you select a move and you see, like, you select which enemy you're going to hit, and it goes and shows you the preview of what that would do effect-wise on the enemy, whether that would, like, completely kill them or not. And then you can select your next move and combo it on top of that, and then select which enemy you want to hit with that. And it's all percentage-based, so you can see, like, you have, like, a 94% chance of this happening. So it's kind of an interesting battle system. A little bit like Fallout-y, like that whole type of thing where you see the percentages. So I don't know. It's interesting so far.
Cool.
Yeah.
I guess.
The Caligula effect.
Yeah.
Might have nothing to do with the stuff that Cheapy knows about.
Right. Anything else?
The Blob is out for PC.
Great.
Finally.
The big deal.
That is a long time coming.
Finally.
All right. Is that it for new releases?
Anything on Wii U?
No. Yes, but we're not going to talk about it. Let's move on to multi-platforming and Wombat's Overwatch Onslaught and also news and stuff. Oh, how come I didn't put the Overwatch stuff first? I'm supposed to do that. Well, let's talk about the Overwatch stuff first. So in China, They passed a law that says if you have a video game in which people can buy randomized loot boxes, such as Overwatch and League of Legends and other games, that you need to tell the customers what the odds are of getting the good loot. Because they recognize that this is really just a form of gambling, because real money is involved. It is completely based on chance. And people are spending big money to win prizes, which they think are valuable. And it's only fair that the customer should know what the odds are. And it is pretty weird that it's China that is leading the way on this. And it's not something that the developers or publishers just put out willingly, which they should, because it is definitely gambling. And there's definitely big money being spent by people to get this stuff.
So have you been able to find out what the odds are in Overwatch since it's now the law in China?
They haven't.
Are the odds in China the same as the odds in here?
Well, so they haven't. The law just went into effect. So some of the games, I believe, have already released the odds, but Overwatch has not done it yet. And I don't know if they're going to wind up changing the odds in Japan, I mean, in China, or if it would be the same everywhere, but I guess we're going to find out.
Yeah. This
should be something that should just be offered up. And another idea that I had.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that, your other idea that you had.
Is that if they're smart, if Overwatch, if Activision really wants to make some money, they should change the odds.
They would change Overwatch into Diablo 4. No. And then it'd be awesome.
You can have both. It's fine. I would say, why not make the odds better of getting the good loot if you pay for the boxes, as opposed to just winning them through, just regular leveling up? That would probably incentivize more people to actually pay for loot boxes, because you know the odds are shit, right? Just anyway, straight up. And why pay good money for shit odds when you can pay good money for less shitty odds? Do you think there would be a big backlash if they did something like that? Is that in bad taste to do that? I don't think so.
I think the whole game is already in bad taste.
Come on, be serious. This is very important.
You're no game mode game that serves as nothing but a machine for buying loot boxes.
That's all it is.
It's a shell for loot box purchases.
I've never bought a loot box. I'm very proud of that. But I would say if they told me that...
It's like Disney Crossy Road. It's the same concept.
No. If they said that the odds were better if you buy the loot boxes, then I would say, why am I wasting this time like a sucker playing through the game and getting this shitty odds for like one loot box every like a couple of days when I can make it rain legendary skins? I don't know. That's just my two cents right there. What else we got here, Wombat?
I don't know. What else do we have here?
I don't know. Read this shit. Do something besides make fun of Overwatch.
I like making fun of them. My section. I didn't put any of this on here. Oh, I am playing one of those indie games.
Uh-huh.
I'm playing Talent Not Included. It's a pretty cool. It's a cool little game. It's hard. Also, I'm terrible at games, so take that with a grain of salt. But it's a cute game. You play as a knight, and you're basically in a play. So the level you're on, it's always a one screen level, but it changes. The background changes as you jump around. It's really cool, and it's got graphically, it's got a really nice art style to it, kind of cartoony. You know, it's not that retro style graphics that you see in a lot of indie games. So it's worth at least checking out. You know, watch a video of it or something. But it's a cute little game.
Gotcha. I thought you would be very excited about this news that I put on here. The Darksiders 3 is coming.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'll check it out. I mean, you know, it's a little early to get excited.
Right. Next year, apparently. Yeah. And now the Darksider is a woman. Right?
Well, she's always been a woman. You're just playing as her.
Right. How do you know?
Because that character's been in the games.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's been in the other games. Okay. You just weren't playing as her.
Got it. Okay. The screenshot looks a lot like Horizon Zero Dawn, I gotta say.
Perfect.
Which is a fine video game.
I'm excited about this video game that's coming out soon. This NBA Playgrounds game?
Yeah, I put this on there for you.
It looks good.
It looks like NBA Jam.
Yeah.
But slower.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see if it's good or not. I'm happy to see it's a game that you buy. It's $20. When I first started this game, I thought it was going to be like a free to play, but then you really have to buy card packs or something to get the players you'd want to play as.
Right.
But it doesn't seem like it's that way. It's $20 and you unlock everything through the game. So it's got like current players and then past players. It looks like it has a lot of players. Again, there's one screenshot I'm looking at that has Shaq and Magic Johnson on the same team. That seems all right.
Yeah, I know who those people are.
Right.
And I don't know any of the modern guys. It does say there are no microtransactions, but if there's a demand for the ability to buy card packs, they can add that feature later. They're going to add that feature later. Psst. Yeah, I like it. We play, we play NBA Jam in this house still. On Xbox One. It's really good. And Ty's friends come over. They go at it too.
So this is from Saber Interactive. Those are the old Time Shift guys.
Cool.
Yeah. Huh. What have they been up to?
This?
Oh, that's right. They worked some on the Halo stuff. The remastered stuff. They came in and helped with that. Oh, they also spent some time making the RIPD game. So they got paid to make that game.
Who's publishing this?
I think it's them. I think they're self-publishing. This is just an indie game.
Interesting. Huh. Cool. I'll buy that shit.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
What else we got here? I put this on the outline. It's pretty interesting if you're into the whole YouTube streamer world. As you probably know, that the advertising on YouTube ever since the what was it that caused the Wall Street Journal article, the Pill PewDiePie thing went down, that advertisers haven't been so hot about advertising on YouTube, and YouTube now makes it easier for advertisers to avoid controversial videos, having their ads appear on controversial videos. And that includes violent video games. So there are a bunch of YouTubers out there who specialize in games like Call of Duty. And now they can't make money. They can't get their videos monetized anymore. Or at least the quality of the advertisers aren't there anymore. And so a game like Call of Duty World War II comes out. These guys can't make any money anymore.
I it's so weird. I don't get. They do realize that YouTube doesn't owe them anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do they understand that?
They do understand it, but I think they're looking for like a good reason on why they can't get ads on these videos, and it
because
seems-
you if it hurts YouTube's bottom line, YouTube's gonna do what's best for YouTube's bottom. Google's bottom line.
Well, yeah, but and of course it makes sense that certain videos should not be monetized, right? That are controversial. But why would a super popular video game be something that's tagged as controversial?
I'm sure someone crunched the numbers, and the cost benefit just didn't work out in their favor.
I don't think that they've actually done that. I think that they were so put off by
I'm gonna say the opposite and say there are rooms of people that do that.
But I don't think they've done it. I don't think they've actually done it yet, or they're still doing it. I think that they saw like a big problem when the Wall Street Journal came out, and they tried to put out the fire really quickly, and haven't really, you know, put the proper measures in place to make sure that this makes sense everywhere. Because is that something controversial? Call of Duty gameplay? Doesn't seem like it. Do you think advertisers would really be offended if their videos ran alongside like the one of the most popular video games that comes out every year, twice a year?
We'll find out.
It seems weird. But that is something that is going on. Something else that is going on is that Nintendo announced a new handheld.
Sort of.
Well, a new-ish handheld. It's the
new iteration of their existing handheld. It's not a new handheld.
Well,
let's not overstate things with your clickbait headlines.
If you're a Nintendo fan, you count this as a new handheld, and you probably bought it even though you have all the other iterations of handhelds. Am I right about that? People seem pretty fucking excited about it on my Twitter feed.
No. If you have a 3DS XL, there's no reason to get the 2DS XL. But looking at the new 2DS XL, it probably is the best version of this console that they've made.
Well, I think the 3DS one's still better because it has better screen. Right?
Does it? That's what I was saying. Okay. Does it have a better screen?
Well, it has to have the better. I mean, I don't know if it takes advantage of it or not, but it has to have the higher refresh rate and everything to be able to do the 3D stuff. So it's got to have the higher resolution, I think, as well to do that.
I don't know. I never used the 3D on my 3DS, so you know. But if you're saying it has a better, higher resolution, then I guess it isn't better. It looks nicer. So, whatever. It's also cheaper.
Oh, yeah. The 2DS, this looks pretty slick.
It is slick-looking, less expensive, with the built-in Amiibo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely has its advantages over the 3DS, but again, you say that it has a higher screen resolution on the 3DS, although I'm sure...
He didn't say resolution, he said...
I think it does.
Oh.
I think...
I was going to say, if it does, it's probably negligible.
Yeah, I'm sure... they both look great.
Yes, you're right. Here we go. Okay, so the 3DS... has 800 by 240 pixels, while the 2DS XL is 400 by 240 pixels.
Right. So the 3DS is still the technically superior one, but I don't know how much
it matters.
You can tell the difference.
That may only make a difference when you're playing in 3D, because it has to do 400 pixels per eye. I don't know.
Right.
So it may not really matter.
Right, exactly.
Yes, which is what we were saying.
Right, but so I guarantee you that people are going to triple, quadruple, quintuple dip on this. You know, the big Nintendo
phone. If I didn't just buy a 2DS over the holidays, then I would look into this. Mm-hmm. But I don't need that, so.
I don't like the color that the black with that aqua blue.
Mm. Also, if I was able to download my games to more than one handheld,
right,
I might look into it. But the fact that you can't do that, which is sort of ridiculous, kind of.
Right.
Yeah. I think once they come out with some new colors and slap a Pikachu on this thing, then we're in business.
Right, yeah.
Give it 6 months.
Six. Give it three.
Six.
What else we got here? You talked about Mario Kart 8 Deluxe being the fastest selling game in the franchise. That's very exciting.
That makes sense, just because people have had Zelda on this thing, and everybody who bought a Switch to play Zelda is pretty likely to buy Mario Kart a month and a half later.
Yeah. There's not that many things to choose from at this point. And it's a quality title. In the world of Sony... I guess this is not a great sign for PlayStation VR. I mean, I don't know. Draw the conclusions any way you like, but retailers are now throwing in the camera certain retailers are now throwing in the PlayStation camera along with the PSVR. I guess this thing is widely available now, right? You can find these stores.
I have no idea.
It's in every store that I go to. Yeah.
I'm not looking for one, so I couldn't tell you.
I did notice when I went to Best Buy, they had a bunch in the on the back, the shelves by the register. I saw like a big stack of them. We haven't heard much about new PlayStation VR games coming, PSVR games coming out, have we?
They have that that shooter coming out, right? At some point.
Yeah. The one on Mars. I forgot what it's called already. But nobody gives a shit about that, I'm pretty sure. In the world of Microsoft, I read this on Polygon. Ben Cuchera wrote a little thing about the Scorpio, because there's pictures of the Scorpio dev kit out there. And one of the features of it, it's got a screen on the front of it. An actual OLED screen on there that shows you the frames per second that the game is performing at. And he makes the case that this is like a good marketing feature. If they put this on the actual consumer version to sort of enforce the case that you're buying a very powerful machine that's going to run all the games at a steady 60 frames per second. Unfortunately, if the games aren't running at a steady 60 frames per second, the screen...
You can still put 60 up
there. Right, just put 60.
I was going to say, how would you know?
Just put a sticker on the front that says 60.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Or just tell the developers how to program the game so that it makes the screen say 60 at all times. Anyway, I thought that was kind of neat. Let's see. At JK Greggle writes in and says, I don't have a 4K TV. Do I buy Scorpio when I already have an Xbox One, or do I hold off?
Hold off.
You hold off. You definitely hold off.
You hold off, and I would say even wait. Probably, I'm going to say that not this holiday, but the next holiday season, TVs will be better and cheaper.
That happens every season.
Yes, but cheaper.
Right.
I think right now we're at 4K's peak pricing, because I was looking into it, and the good ones are still crazy expensive.
Just remember, they cost twice as much in Japan. That'll make you feel a lot better about your purchase.
I honestly don't care. I'm just talking about, you know, looking at the now, because it reminds me of looking at, you know, the thin HD TVs, you know, 5 years ago. And the TV that I got was three times the price that it was when I bought it, you know, 2 years prior. Mm-hmm. So I think we're like right around that tipping point where the technology will become cheaper to get in there.
Yeah. And the content is coming now from these streaming services. You have a lot of shows that are being
produced in 4K. And as cable declines and streaming becomes more popular, there'll be more of an incentive to have more TVs that do it and do it right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say not this holiday, but the following holiday. That's my guess.
All right. What else we got here? Someone's been playing a game I've never heard of.
I've been playing this game called Trulon, the Shadow Engine.
Do tell.
The developer sent over code a while back. This game happened to hit the same time as all the big releases about a month ago.
You mean Yooka-Laylee?
Right. No, before Yooka-Laylee. but it is, it's an indie game. It's a RPG. The graphics are like leave a little bit to be desired. It's not like a powerhouse there or anything, but it's kind of an interesting RPG in that it plays out kind of like a strategy RPG, but it's all card based.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very much like you're building your deck and going into battle with that. And each of your party members has their own deck of cards. So it's kind of an interesting play there that you can build one character. I mean, they kind of have their default capabilities. You have one person who's your ranged person, and you have one person who's like your healer, and those are the only two characters I have so far, but I know there's, I think your party gets up to four people or so. But then you can kind of divvy out your cards to make those their skill sets kind of match up or do what you want them to. So I'm having fun with it. It's easy enough that I don't get like upset about it. But if you like Hearthstone, that type of thing,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of an interesting take on that.
All righty. Let's move on to the CAG bag here. At Links 009 writes in and asks, how do you guys catalog your game collection, especially Shipwreck? I mean, I'm pretty sure it's only Shipwreck who's doing it. What mobile app do you use?
I use Gamepedia, which is, the last time I checked, I'm pretty sure this is still true. It's only a Mac app.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a companion app on, I know at least on iPhones. I don't know if they have it for other things as well. It's called Pocketpedia mm-hmm. that links up to it. So it works really well. They have other, the developer Brugy has other Pedias as well. They have like DVD Pedia, which does movies, and Bookpedia. And maybe one other, like, I guess like CDpedia or something. They have a music one as well. And all of those link into this one mobile app, which is why it's called Pocketpedia.
Sounds convenient.
Mm-hmm. It's not too terribly expensive. They have sales on it in a bunch. I think the iPhone app is free, I believe, but you really need the other apps to really take advantage of it.
Gotcha. At Dalton D89 writes in and asks if any of us keep a CRT television around. And he says he keeps his around for light gun games. I have one for my Pong, my Telstar Ranger, but older consoles that are sitting in my boiler room. But I don't, it's not really used that much. I should probably do something else with it, like get rid of it. Ship, you don't have one of those, do you?
No, I don't know. It's not something I would use enough, and it's big and heavy and takes up a substantial like place permanently.
Yeah, that's why I want to get rid of mine.
But I understand, like, I would like it for light gun games, but I'm just always hopeful that somebody's going to come up with somebody eventually will come up with some solution where I can play these games on my projector.
An artisanal light gun.
Yeah, there's going to be some artisanal thing that shoots out laser beams that works with all this stuff.
All right. And lastly, from at Generous Jackass asks, can Wombat go into detail about his love for Axl Rose? What, I don't know what he's talking about, but it's your birthday, so I figured I would put this on there.
Oh, I just made a dumb tweet today.
Oh, okay. So you don't care about Axl Rose.
Yeah.
All right. See, there you go. Wombat doesn't
I like Axl Rose as much as the next person, I guess.
Right. All right. Fair enough. Well, I'll remind everybody to follow us on Twitter at GPD, at New Wombat, and at Shipwreck, and of course at Video Game Deals. And of course, please visit HelloFresh.com and use the promo code CADCAST30 to save $30 off your first week of deliveries when you subscribe. And we will see you next week.
Brent's done.
We have come to ask for the sacred cross dagger of Ajanti.
For what reason?
For the golden child.
He does not need it.
To save his life.
The child lives for our sakes, not for his own.
I humbly beg you, let us have the knife.
Let him ask it.
I said, I want the knife.
Let him ask again.
I want the knife. Please.